Hello, I'm Curtis Powers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Thank you to all the subscribers out there. We appreciate your support and your prayers for helping us continue moving forward in what we're doing. Those watching on Rumble, please like and follow. That's a great blessing to us and helps the videos get out to more people. Today I'm going to be interviewing Cleta Mitchell. We had her on about a year and a half ago. She works with the Election Integrity Network, and we're going to talk about the 2020 election, the 2022 election, and then the upcoming 2024 election, and things you can be doing right now to make a difference, to be working toward a free and fair election, which of course is vital to our country. But anyway, I appreciate you joining me. Those that are not subscribers, please consider going to agendaweekly.com. And if you subscribe there, it's $5 a month. It allows you to get all the resources we provide each week. But I think this episode will cover a lot of practical things you can do to make a difference. A couple things before I get to the Cleta Mitchell interview. One, I wanted to talk about a few good news items that are happening right now. One, it looks like Britain has rejected the World Health Organization treaty, and that's wonderful. Every country that pulls out, it just makes it lose momentum and lose its authority, which is wonderful. Also, in the state of Missouri, some of you from Missouri, they have defunded Planned Parenthood and have also put things in place to help mothers that are expecting to get support and help in what they're doing so they don't need an abortion or want an abortion. But no tax dollars are going to go to abortion clinics anymore, which is wonderful. The state of Nebraska has taken off the capital gains tax on gold and silver, which is wonderful, so that's considered more of a currency like it is instead of the fiat currency that we use. So the more states that do that, it's going to just break the hold of the Federal Reserve in one of the ways. And then as the digital currency comes in, we're going to be set up as states to start issuing our own currency of gold and silver, and that could be a huge, huge blessing. In my state of Alabama, they have banned lab-grown meat. It cannot be sold in the state of Alabama, and that's wonderful. So those were a few good news things to rejoice about, because there's always good things going on, even when there's so many bad things going on, and sometimes we need to focus on those. The second thing I wanted to cover before I go to the interview is play you a clip from Fulton County, Georgia, their election violation committee. And it's pretty overwhelming. They say the election was so fraudulent in every area, 1.7 million ballots there's no record of. And that's in one state, that's not in America, that's just in Georgia. So, and I think Trump supposedly lost by about 10,000 votes. So he won in a landslide, probably by about 1 million votes. But this committee is exposing that and saying, yes, it was a fraudulent election, period. And that's encouraging, because more and more of that's coming out. It might not change the last election, but it wakes people up to, yeah, that was a lie like we said it was. It was totally fraudulent, and Trump beat Biden by millions and millions of votes, and therefore he's not legitimate, and therefore he should have all the legislation, all the executive orders, everything that happened during his presidency should also be erased. Anyway, watch this clip, and then I'll go to the interview.
There's enough evidence to suggest that the respondents violated Georgia election laws and state election board rules to such an excess that we should be embarrassed for the Fulton County registration and elections. We should be embarrassed for the chief election official of Georgia and its election division. And yes, we should be embarrassed for the state election board and its dysfunction in handling this case. First, the problem with election day count and the failure to properly secure, protect, and document the safety and authenticity of the votes from 10 advanced voting locations is appalling. Record keeping is abysmal. Proper documentation to ensure the public that votes or ballot boxes have not been tampered with is shamefully poor. The opportunity to electronically stuff the ballot box was obviously available, and that has left a film of doubt and suspicion over Fulton County that may be impossible to wipe away. Second, as far as the complaint of the recount, someone should be held accountable for the adding votes electronically or failing or refusing to produce ballot images for the complainants and maybe even the court or for double scanning of ballots. Dominion claims its machines do not allow double scanning of thousands of votes. The question remains, how did that happen? Did Dominion lie to the state of Georgia? Double scanning and double counting of votes is fraud. The FBI states that voting twice is a violation of law. Then officially counting votes twice is also a violation. The results of the RLA hand count and the machine recount should be officially amended and reflect the correct totals. The recount with 17,852 ballot images and more than 16,000 electronically added votes should have those votes expunged, or the paper ballots should be investigated by an independent investigator. Ballot images were required to be made and preserved as of February 2020. With the failure to retain 380,000 ballot images from the November 3rd election be indicative of gross negligence? The county broke the necessary audit trail to validate the authenticity of the votes. Either the votes should be invalidated or the paper ballots must be investigated to prove their veracity. If this is the way to conduct an election, then no election should be certified as true and accurate. And there's no way that this election or recount should have been certified.
Cleta Mitchell, thank you so much for joining me again today.
Oh, Curtis, it's great to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
So much has happened. The last time you were on was September of 22, so about a year and a half ago, right before the midterm elections. Right. And I know a lot of those did not go as we had hoped, and it looked like there was a lot of funny business in some of the states as well. I just showed before you came on a clip, the Georgia State Election Board hearing last week showed a clip of that where they were discussing all the failures of the 2020 general election in Fulton County, so people would have an idea that, yeah, this is coming out in the open now. We all knew it back then. It was clear. Right. You could just see all the inconsistencies and all the lies and all the hidden cameras and all the things, but, right. But now it's actually coming out. So talk a little bit about that. What are some of the things that have been happening to really open people's eyes to the reality of 2020?
Well, you know, people say to me, I hear people say all the time, not anybody, by the way, that are people who share my principles, because people who share my principles know it's important to document what happened in 2020. That's but, you know, you hear the left-wing media and I'll say, well, let's just move on, just move past 2020 and they call us names, you know, we're election deniers. And I always say, well, I don't deny that there was an election. I just deny that it was conducted properly and legally and in accordance with the way that the legislatures had intended. But what's happened is the thing that you saw on the Georgia State Election Board, at the Georgia State Election Board meeting, was if you can imagine this, this is a complaint that was filed by two researchers. It's a very thorough complaint that was filed by two researchers in 2021 and first submitted to the governor, and his staff spent 6 weeks looking at it and said, this is really a problem. It was about all the various problems in Fulton County, Georgia in 2020. And the governor is the one who sent it over to the state election board for a further investigation. I want to say it was November of 2021. And that complaint just got to the state election board in May of 2024. And if you watch, I think the clip that it's actually pretty interesting to watch the entire clip of the meeting. Yes. Because the Secretary of State's office has now been, quote, investigating that for almost 3 years. And they kept and so Dr. Jan Johnson, who's one of the members of the state election board, said, did you look at this? Well, no, we didn't look at that. Did you look at this? Well, no, we didn't look at that. Did you? And then they are just ready to say, OK, well, let's just give a letter of reprimand and move on. Now, Fulton County gets reprimanded regularly for failure to adhere to the law. And so it's really important that we try to get Fulton County to obey the law. And I would say that about these other election administrators as well in some of these key places, Maricopa County, where they just have a pattern and practice of disregarding state law and making it up as they go along. Jocelyn Benson in Michigan, same thing. And a court just said yesterday that it did not appear that she had the authority to order, if you can believe this, we all know this, the law says you have to do certain things, take certain steps to verify signatures on mail-in ballots. And she issued a directive to all of the counties and to the clerks. I guess they do it by township clerks in Michigan. Oh, no, you don't have to abide by that. You don't have to follow that. Just do this instead. So a judge yesterday said, no, you don't actually have the authority to do that. But so, look, I mean, one of the things that worries me, why does this matter? It matters because yesterday, Merrick Garland and Attorney General of the United States had this big meeting, the Election Threats Task Force, that he convened, and all they could talk about was all of these people who are harassing election administrators, and they've had this big campaign to try to make sure that citizens asking questions, citizens saying, are you doing this correctly, and all of that, they want to try to chill citizen involvement. But we just keep saying, we are following the law, and we try to be right and be polite. I always tell people, you know, don't threaten anybody. You shouldn't be threatening anybody, but we do want them to do their jobs. And what I'm worried about is that the left and led by Merrick Garland, you know, the Democrats' henchman, that he is going to try to create a chilling effect on our ability to ask the kinds of questions, to get the answers and to get them ahead of time, so we're not just finding out the next day or the week after what they've done.
That's right. No, it's as it keeps coming out, some of you people that maybe haven't paid attention to all this, but just in Georgia, which is right next to where I am in Alabama, they now say that 1.7 million of the ballot images were destroyed. That's in one state. That's not across America, which would be a problem. The election was far less than that for all the swing states. You were talking about a couple hundred thousand people changed the election. One state, 1.7 million. Oh, no, we didn't keep the images of the ballots. Well, there's only reason you'd be doing that.
Yeah. And that is, and remember, it's required under federal and state of Georgia law to retain all of those election materials. They're supposed to retain all of the, under federal law, for 22 months. And under state law, I think they've extended that to 24 months. And they deleted everything in 2021. No, I mean, following the law seems to be the hardest thing for election administrators to do.
Well, it is, because when you know your candidate's going to lose and you don't have...
If it's fair.
Yeah, you don't have the morality and the... to do it the right way that you've sworn to do. That's what's really changed in our country over both of our lifetime, is there's just, the law means nothing. It's total disregard. Right. We'll do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it. And we've seen the weaponization of that so much. Yeah, 71 counties could not produce the original ballot images in Georgia alone, which was crazy. Talk for a minute about, and Tucker covered this a little bit this last week, but the reality with all the illegal immigrants in America now, and there's over 30 million non-citizens in America.
That's right.
And so talk about that for a minute.
Well, one of the things that I started really, I think God put this on my heart in January of this year, that I really needed to focus on non-citizen voting. And it's just not something that I had really zeroed in on in all the work I've done all these years. So I started really working on that. I started looking at, what does the statute say about non-citizen voting? What does the criminal law say? What do the federal laws say? And what I've realized is that the federal statutes, the Help America Vote Act passed 2002, and the National Voter Registration Act passed in 1993, both of those federal laws govern a lot of what happens in, with regard to elections, particularly voter registration, mainly voter registration. And both of those laws just assume, they assume that the immigration laws are going to be enforced. And so when you are looking at a situation like we have in 2024 that we could never have imagined 22 years ago or 31 years ago, you realize, oh my gosh, this system is so porous. It is, it just invites anybody who wants to commit mischief and fraud to do so. And I'll give you an example. I did not know until I started working on this that non-citizens can get Social Security numbers. I didn't know that illegals can get Social Security numbers if the administration decides to name them as asylum seekers or asylees and or a parolee. And so now we have, and this administration is handing out that status by the hundreds of thousands. We don't even really know. So now you have non-citizens who get Social Security numbers, and you have people who came here illegally but have been blessed by the Biden administration, they're getting Social Security numbers. And then I looked at the driver's licenses requirements for every state. Every state issues driver's licenses to non-citizens, and 19 states issue driver's licenses to illegals. So the Help America Vote Act, passed in 2002, says that before someone's added to the voter rolls, their residence and identity has to be confirmed and verified. What are the ways that those are verified? Driver's license and last four, the Social Security number. You do not have to be a citizen, and you can be illegal, and you can have a driver's license in 19 states. You can get a Social Security number. So I started working on members of Congress in January, and every time I was in a meeting where or Speaker Johnson was anywhere present, I would say, what are you going to do about non-citizen voting? What are you going to do about non-citizen voting? And I started working with Chip Roy from Texas and Mike Lee from Utah, Senator Lee and Representative Roy, and we started working on a bill to amend the federal law because to add insult to injury, the Supreme Court of the United States in 2013 said that because Congress had not required documentary proof of citizenship, that the states had no authority and the Election Assistance Commission had no authority to require proof that when somebody checks the box and says, yes, I'm a U.S. citizen, that the states had no authority to ask or require the documentary proof of that. So we are trying to unwind. So last week, Speaker Johnson hosted a press conference. Representative Roy and Senator Lee were there. Several leaders, like conservative groups, were there, and announcing the filing of the SAVE Act, the Strengthening American Voter Eligibility Act, to require the states to receive documentary proof of citizenship before they put anybody on the voter rolls, and that anyone who's found not to be a citizen can be removed from the voter rolls at any time. So look, I mean, we're working on trying to get that through the House. I think it's important. It's a, people understand, 87% of people want to have only citizens voting in US elections. And so we have a website that we started last week called Only Citizens Vote Coalition, onlycitizensvotecoalition.com. People are welcome to go to that, sign up, look at, get the materials, find out what's going on in your community. We're having a toolkit. People can use that to find out what's going on in their local communities and in their states. But we've got to watch this because there are all these millions of illegals in our country.
Study I was reading this week, knowing I was going to talk to you, but In 2014, an academic journal published a study they had done on the 2008 election, and from gathering all the data they could, they said roughly their best estimation was 1/4 of non-citizens were registered to vote in America. And of that, 6.4% of non-citizens actually voted. And from the polling of it, 81.8% reported they had voted for Barack Obama in 2008. And so, I mean, that's talking about lots of votes. And now it's so much more just over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, 10 plus million. Right. And you know, that's one of the reasons they're bringing them. There's many reasons.
One of the reasons.
It's dissolving our country from within and diluting the patriotism and the bonding of the common values and culture and everything. But I know from having studied the other side for decades, they will do everything in their power to make sure the outcome is what they want. And I know you know that from your study. You've seen, sure will. They'll do anything they can do.
They'll do anything.
What's some of the things you're seeing the other side working toward and behind the scenes and whatever, as you guys are trying to put roadblocks in the way of this criminal activity, but what's kind of going on across the country?
Well, you know, one of the things that we've built over the last 3 years, I wrote The Citizen's Guide to Building an Election Integrity Infrastructure, which is a handbook that it's free. I'll tell you where to get that. But the whole point is to help individual citizens, patriots in their own communities, get people together and say, what can we do to protect our election right here? All voting is local. And so one of the things we've been working on is cleaning voter rolls, and people all over the country have been engaged in that. And just the left has gone bonkers over the efforts of citizens to get their voter rolls cleaned. And so they have done hit pieces on me and on others involved. And just in the last 2 weeks, this is a new insult that they've come up with called vote fraud hunters. No, we're just citizens who want clean voter rolls. So you can't cheat. And so just about 3 weeks ago, part of the data, that a big source of data for people who have moved, is the data from the U.S. Postal Service, the national change of address. You know, when you move, you fill out that card, and those, that goes onto a database. And then there are multiple databases that are generated from that. There are like 50 companies that use the NCOA database, and they do, I don't know what they do more with it, but anyway, then they license it. They have a license, and then they license it to people, mailing houses and all. And so there's been pressure brought to bear on a couple of the licensees of the NCOA data to cut off access to groups that are using it for purposes of turning into the election offices proof that someone on the voter rolls has moved. How do you like that?
Wow.
That they will stop at nothing.
That's right.
They will stop at nothing. They want dirty, polluted voter rolls. Then they want, like in Nevada, every name, every bad registration you can get off the rolls is very important, because the Democrats, when they took over the Nevada legislature, they changed the law so that now everybody on the voter rolls gets a ballot sent to them. Gets a ballot sent to them. You got 25% of the voter rolls that are, you know, that are bad voter rolls. They're getting ballots sent to them.
No, and then so it gives them that margin they need.
That's right, because they're just floating around. And there are pictures of stacks of ballots and waste baskets and apartment buildings where people go to their apartment mailbox, the mail room, get their, you know, throw it in the...
Yeah. Oh, I've had people email me from Agenda Weekly that got 2 and some even 3 ballots sent to them in the mail. They go, we didn't even ask for any. We got 3 sent to our house where we could have voted.
What state was that?
I'm not sure. I'd have to go look at the emails, but I just remember collecting them in my mind over the years. I'm like, that's crazy. You're just, you didn't ask for one and you're getting multiple ones in the mail.
Right.
But they know that if you just flood the system, then there's plenty of margin to be able to manufacture whatever you need at the last minute.
Well, and you know, I've been really worried about, here we are focused on the what we call the battleground states. And then I start worrying about, okay, how many illegals does it take to move into a place like North Dakota that doesn't have voter registration and they show up and vote on election day and we don't know about it till the day after? So I've been really looking at some of these state procedures. What is your procedure for confirming citizenship before you let somebody vote?
Yeah. And they're going to be totally motivated to do that because the one candidate's saying, I'm rounding you up and deporting you the day I get elected. And the other one says, no, I'm going to give you $2,300 a month. I mean, so it's like, yeah, I mean, there's just total self-preservation, even that, yeah, they're going to go do it. You know, they're going to do it. Because they want to stay here, of course, wh whoever they are, some of the good people that are here, some of the criminals, everyone wants to stay because it's so nice in America compared to wherever they came from. So that's what's horrible is you know this is going to be an easy thing for them to do and to motivate and to organize because all of those people will go, yes, we want the party in that says we can stay and we can have citizenship and we can do all these things. So it's so obvious.
Did you happen to see the Heritage Foundation Oversight Project sent some people down to the other side of the border and found one of the left-wing charitable organizations in a refugee air staging area? Come in here, we'll tell you about help you get across the border. And they had all these flyers saying, vote for, now remember, vote for Biden when you get into America.
Yeah, no, I don't think I saw that, but I know that because they're all talking about Biden. Biden told us to come in, and you know, I mean, they're
That's right.
and so of course they're voting for him. They're going to because they want to take the system down and take advantage of it. What's some of the things and to talk about the different groups you're involved in with the address there where they can get to that and get involved. What are some practical things people can do right now to make a big difference, whether it's funding, whether it's calling, whether it's you know, whatever your voter guide. Remember, I think you had that a year and a half ago. Yeah, it was great. So,
I wrote that in November of 2021. We updated it, I want to say in 23, but the whole point is to say, just like parents have figured out they cannot just send their kids to school
yes.
and go about their business, they have got to be involved in their child's education. They've got to be at the school board meetings. They've got to look at the curriculum. They've got to look at the library books. We have to do the same thing with our election process. And this is the Citizen's Guide. You can get it at, it's free at whoscounting.us. It's WHOS counting, whoscounting.us. One of my friends says, it's who's counting us. And yeah, but www.whoscounting.us. And download the Citizen's Guide. We also have at that website, we have 20, I think we have 20, maybe we're going to add some more about non-citizen voting, but we have videos, training videos that are no more than 5 to 7 minutes. How do you build a local task force to watch your, be part of the election process? How do you get involved in the election process in your area? Be an observer, become a poll worker, be in there counting the votes. They are always looking, the election offices are always looking. But one of the things we found in virtually every state, the law requires that you have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans as poll workers or poll judges. Well, I'll tell you what has happened over the years is the Democrats fill the Republican slots. And that happens all over the country. And so we've got to get those slots filled by conservatives, by patriots who will learn and become part of the process. And everybody needs to sign up to do something with the election. That's really so important. If you can't be a worker, be an observer, take some shifts. Every state requires that there be equal numbers. There may be one or two states that don't have that requirement, but it's really important. Find out what's going on with the voter rolls in your county or your city or your state. We have training. We have 10 national working groups that do Zoom training, and we can send you the calendar. You pick what you want to do. The left is all about preying on vulnerable voters, whether it's people who live in group homes, nursing homes, the homeless. They are all about finding those pockets of voters that they can manipulate. We have a working group and training on protecting vulnerable voters. We have training on how you can learn about what happens with mail-in ballots. What's the role of the post office with your election office? It all requires citizen oversight, and we cannot afford to not be in those offices. Be right, be polite, but be there. And the other thing I would say to people is go to the website that we created last week, onlycitizensvotecoalition.com. Onlycitizensvotecoalition.com. There is information. We'll have a toolkit. I'm all about giving people tools and telling them what they can do. And so whoever has a moment, now is the time to stand up for our country. And the way we save our country, we got to save these elections, because they're going to do everything they can do to manipulate the outcome. We know that.
Yeah.
So let's be there. Let's try to do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yes. And I truly believe if they're able to manipulate one more, it will give them the confidence to know we've got this thing. And once elected officials don't have to worry about being reelected, things get bad real quick. If you study the 20th century and everything else, once they know, okay, we got this thing, we figured out how to rig it, then they don't have to pretend to care about what you think about or anybody else. And they just drive that agenda so fast. Well, everyone listening to this, I know you care because that's why you're listening. You need to do one of those things she talked about. I'll have all the websites below in the details there, but go maybe take some training, watch some of the videos, download the manual, and then get five friends, invite them over, go through some of the videos you liked about explaining what needs to be done with them, and then you six go and plug into your county or wherever your city, wherever the best place is, wherever you are, and just be involved in this. And I think when you take the action to be a participant, not just a spectator, I think you're going to, I don't know, I think it'll enhance your prayer life as you're praying, God, you bless our efforts. We're trying to make a difference here. Would you please just bless it? These people, would you expose their evil plans? Would you just open people's eyes to see what's happening? And he loves that when we are trying to do what is right for the right reason, and we're standing up and taking our time. But I know if we do that, there's great hope in that we could maybe have a free and fair election. And if we did, I think it will be a landslide in our direction. I think they've exposed themselves the last 3.5 years. It's a total failure. They have nothing to offer. They have nothing to sell us. They are about destruction and fragmenting everything. And so it's a time where it would just be a blessing if God allowed us to have victory. But I know we're supposed to be doing our part regardless of how it turns out. We always have to stand. And that's a small price to pay to maintain the wonderful country that we have that is so amazing. Even with all its problems, it's so fantastic. But Clean, any other last words or anything of things they should do or anything?
Well, I think what you said, Curtis, is really important. I want to underscore it, because I do believe that God has given us this responsibility of citizenship. He's given us this great privilege of living in this country. And the people that we're up against are evil. They want to erase our fundamental values. They don't know what a man is or what a woman is. They don't love our country. They want to destroy our country. So we are in a moral existential crisis like we have never seen before. And as I always say, the Declaration of Independence says that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. And in our country, the way we give and withdraw consent, we are the governed. And the way we give and withdraw consent is through elections. And so for people who say, well, I don't know if my vote's going to count, so I'm going to stay home. Oh, no. Your vote's going to count. You have to be there and get involved. It's going to take all of us. But just remember, we have lots of examples. We've got David and Goliath. We've got lots of examples in the Bible. We have Gideon's army. We have so many examples where God blessed the few against the mighty. And that's, we are the mighty because we are patriots and we love this country. And for those of us who are believers, we believe that God will bless us if we stand up and do what's right. So I'm calling on everybody to be part of the Gideon's army and put those stones in your slingshot and let's go to work.
That's right. Well, Clayda, I'm thankful for you and all the things you're doing and all the groups you've started and are involved with and everything to make a difference. I'm thankful to you and appreciate your efforts. And we will do our part now to utilize all these great resources
That's
you
great.
All have put together and go try to take back our counties and communities and educate others. That's always the key. Multiply yourself out. That's what the left is masters of doing. They always multiply themselves into their friends. Hey, all of you come to the meeting with me or whatever. We need to be more effective at that, not just doing things individually, but getting a group around us and then acting and making a difference. But thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for all you do, Curtis. It's really an honor to be with you.
Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that and learned a lot and are motivated to go to whoscounting.us and onlycitizensvotecoalition.com. Those are two websites. There's a lot of great free resources there and places you can plug yourself in to get involved in what's going on. They need the manpower to be able to be at all the different polling places. And I really encourage you, this is something that's so practical, so hands-on, and you're needed wherever you are at the local level, which is vital. But go to those websites and support them and what they're doing, but also get involved. I think it could make a huge difference. Our verse for this week is Psalm 9:20. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, Selah. Absolutely. That should be our constant prayer. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Please foil their plans. Please expose their lies and their deceitful acts and use the awakening as people look for the truth to draw people to yourself. Pray that God would just bless us and have a great revival sweep through this land and that we would be able to turn our country back to fearing God and keeping His commandments. I appreciate you. I encourage you to go get involved in what's going on. It's vital. And please keep us in your prayers here at Agenda Weekly. And until next week, God bless you.
Welcome to Agenda Weekly. We invite you to join us for an overview of the news from a conservative Christian perspective. You may be familiar with a weekly video podcast from Curtis Bowers, but Agenda Weekly is much more than that. Every Friday, we provide a written summary of the most important news events from America and around the world. We don't just cover the bad news. We find the often overlooked encouraging stories because we all need some good news. Additional resources include informative videos and articles to dig deeper, a featured hymn of the week, essential prayer points, and specific actions to take personally and in your community. For only $5 a month, less than a cup of coffee, you can subscribe to receive the most comprehensive news source available. Our goal is to save you time, expose the agenda behind the news, and equip you to make an impact right where you are. Subscribe today at agendaweekly.com.